comments on Serotalk Tech Chats are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotech Corporation, its staff, management, or third-party resellers. Welcome to the latest Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft. And welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat 110 for July 21st, 2011. Tonight's topic, what's new in Apple's Lion operating system, OS X 10.7 for the Macintosh computer. Our guests tonight, we have four folks, Skype deciding to be friendly. We have Robert Carter with dr-carter.com. How are you doing, sir?
Just fine. Thanks for having me again.
Always enjoy your participation, and I know you've done a few more podcasts of late with Lisa Salinger, so good to hear you out there producing your quality work. Also joining us is David Woodbridge, with Vision Australia, and of course he produces a wide variety of tutorials on not only using iOS applications and so forth, but the Macintosh as well. Thank you tonight for joining us, David.
That's okay. Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Yes, or I should say, it is 11 a.m. in Australia, where the weather is beautiful. 50 degrees as opposed to over 100 here in the Midwest. Yes.
Exactly.
And our resident geek, Mr. Peter Bosley.
Hi, everybody. I'm back.
Yeah, IT administrator over there at Ohio State University, and been playing around with Lion for a while. And also joining us is Kevin Chow. Thank you, sir, for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much.
What's your website? I didn't write it down here. It was kind of a last
It's VoiceOver On.
VoiceOver On?
Yeah.
VoiceOverOn.com. Oh, VoiceOverOn.com. Well, very good. Yes. Well, tonight, I'm going to throw out a few questions, and I'm going to let these four folks go at it. They've been playing with Lion, some of them. I'm not going to say who, because that's up to them, but some of them through the beta process, which they normally can't talk about, so they'll have some insights, but they've been tracking lists and hearing reports from different people. A few issues. Anytime you have a major release, there will be some bugs initially that'll have to be worked out, so we'll find out about those. I think before we go into that, I'll ask you, Pete, there's some new hardware that also came out yesterday, right? You have a new Mac Mini and new Mac Airs, right? And they've removed the optical drive, which is, there's pros and cons to that. Let's first just talk about the new hardware that's out.
So they came out with a Thunderbolt compatible display, which we had suspected that they would once they started putting Thunderbolt ports on more than just the MacBook Pro. There is a new Mac Mini, like you said, and a new MacBook Air. The Minis are interesting because traditionally they've had optical drives, and the only ones that they've neglected to put optical drives on have in the past been the MacBook Airs. I'm not sure that I totally understand the rationale behind removing optical drives. I think it's probably a little too early for that, but in the past Apple's kind of been aggressive in retiring legacy technology, so we'll see how that plays out in the long term.
So I guess the pros are that, A, you have this, by removing the drive, you're removing a piece of hardware of moving components that's likely to fail, but also creating an opening, a portal for either dust, dirt, or moisture to get inside the device. So theoretically, it should prolong the life of the device. But then, of course, folks maybe want to put a DVD in and play it, and that's not an option. So especially when there was talk of using the Mini as kind of the TV module, the TV component.
But what I really find interesting is that they didn't really put anything in its place. And so if you open one of those things up, there's definitely a blank space where an optical drive, theoretically could live, so it's weird.
Right, and instead of trying to miniaturize or make the device smaller, they said, we're just taking it out, or I wonder if that could open up some opportunities in the future for some additional peripheral. But okay, so anyway, the MacBook Air, what has changed there?
The MacBook Air, they've put some Core i5 and Core i7 CPUs in them. They've increased the RAM, and they've added the option for larger storage capacities. I think that they found that a lot of people were buying the MacBook Air and using it as their main machine. It was powerful enough for them to do that. But the storage and the RAM tend to be the constraint that you run up against when you're talking about, a main computer versus a travel machine.
Right, 1632 gig sounds like a lot until you really start doing data, video, and music and things of that sort. So, okay, that sounds good. Let's get into the meat here of it. And I know something that got a lot of publicity yesterday on Twitter, and you mentioned it here. Anytime you upgrade new software, there's going to be bugs from the start. And right now, there are a few, in particular with VoiceOver. So let's talk about what some folks need to be mindful of right now so they can decide if they either want to wait or so that they know if they experience that it is a currently known issue. Who wants to take that one?
Dead silence. I'll go first on this side of the pond in Australia. One of the big ones that people will find up front, particularly if you're a new user, is if you do VO plus H to bring up the VoiceOver help menu and you trundle down to getting started and you press VO spacebar to access it, you'll actually get a Safari 404 error, which basically means there's actually no getting started document yet. So the best thing to do is actually just use the VoiceOver help, which is just VO or control option question mark, and that'll bring up the online help. But the actual getting started guide is still not current. And a few other little things that I've actually noticed is on your dock, so VO plus D for dock, you can't do VO home or VO end to jump to the beginning and end of your dock. So if you're like me and you like to jump everywhere, you actually can't do it on your dock. The other one which is really irritating people is that normally when you run iTunes, on your source list, you can type in the first couple of characters and jump down to an item in the source list. You actually can't do that in the current 10.4 of iTunes. It's actually not working anymore. So there's a few little things like that that I've just noticed that from generally using the Mac, VoiceOver just says, sorry, I'm not doing it. And I guess in iTunes case, it's not so much VoiceOver. It's the fact that somehow that jump command in the list view has been disabled for some odd reason.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Some of the ones I've noticed are dealing with performance in VoiceOver and kind of stability. In particular, just kind of VoiceOver overall, regardless of which TTS you're using, seems to be a bit more sluggish. And also when you're cycling among different applications or in applications, there are different periods where it may just kind of lose speech for a bit, and you may have to move focus to a different application, move back, or toggle VoiceOver to bring it back. Two areas that I've seen a fair number of complaints, and I've also noticed during the myself, is Safari and Mail seem to just overall not be working as well as it did in Snow Leopard.
Okay, well, we'll definitely talk specifically about that, because I know with Safari, of course, they have 5.1, and they've done something that's improved security, but it seems like it's broken some accessibility hooks as well. So certainly want to talk about that. Maybe that's the next.
It's funny, I guess we're having different experiences to some extent, and I've only been using Lion since this afternoon. I was not a part of the beta program, but so far I have not had any sluggishness when switching between apps. And with Snow Leopard, I had a problem where VoiceOver on my MacBook Pro would frequently just stop speaking. I'd have to bring up the Quick Start guide to get it talking again. I've not experienced that once since updating to Lion. So actually, I'm seeing quite a bit of an improvement so far, but it's only been a few hours. So
yeah, actually, one thing we probably should say too, I guess too, is that if you're going from Snow Leopard to Lion, is that you can still use Lion in the same way that you can generally have used Snow Leopard. Because some people have asked me, you know, it's a new operating system, but it's actually Apple's continuation of version 10. So it's not like it's a complete new interface. You can still use a Lion in the same way you can use Snow Leopard. So it's quite common. I mean, I know we've got Launchpad and Mission Control that we can talk about later, but in general, you can definitely use Lion in the same way you can use Snow Leopard.
Okay. Someone mentioned Mail. Someone asked Kevin, you said there were some changes to Mail and the way that works, and maybe people want to be mindful of.
So there's a new view that they've added, and the old view that was present in Snow Leopard can still be accessed, and they're calling that Classic now. People can switch to that, but the new view offers a preview pane and conversation threading. Depending on what people have turned on or off, the results may vary. But for example, scrolling through the message list or interacting with the different tables, there may be half a second to a second delay depending on which settings are turned on or off in Mail specifically.
Yeah, that's strange, because I've got it on my MacBook Air and my Pro. I switch between Classic View and the standard Line View now. I'm not getting any sluggishness, but I tend to use my VoiceOver keys extensively, so I'm not relying on the operating system keyboard commands like tab and that sort of stuff, I tend to fly around with VoiceOver and gestures. So I'm missing that sluggishness, I guess, because I tend to sort of jump everywhere all the time.
I think that's also something.
Yeah, I'm not getting as sluggishness either.
Something also good to point out that it will vary. I mean, depending on if you're using the standard OS 10 commands or VoiceOver commands.
Yeah, I haven't noticed the problems with Mail that I hear people complaining about either. I'm not really sure why that is. There is something to be considered based on different machine configurations. Obviously, if you have less RAM in your computer, things are going to struggle a little bit more. But you know, every computer can be different depending on the number of messages in the view, and you know, any number of factors can affect that.
Yeah, I've heard people say that there's a lot more problems if you have really large mailboxes, and I keep my mailboxes pretty small. I don't leave a lot of stuff in them, so maybe one reason it's working well for me.
Okay, a little breakup from you, Robert. Maybe from, I don't know if it's because you're doing a time machine backup, or we'll roll with it. I want to mention they added support for ARIA and Live Regions, but it's not quite working as expected. Wants to take that on.
So Safari 5.1 in the new version of, or the updated VoiceOver screen reader does support ARIA Live Regions. We've noticed some issues where you will encounter inconsistent results based on the region that's defined as the live region. I believe that these are bugs. I don't think that this is something that's going to continue. In fact, I know a couple of them have been registered as bugs already, so they should be addressed at some point here. But I think the support is coming.
Okay, it's good to know. So a lot of folks, you know, if you're, you know, there's the geeks of us that want to be there right from day one, and folks, of course, every version of Mac, I mean, they end up with maybe 8 updates before the next operating system comes out. Do we know of any incompatible apps, any things that people maybe use that are not going to work on Lion? They just haven't come up with a Lion-ready version just yet.
Actually, one of the ones that I tend to use a lot to do on my podcasts, and it's seems to be sort of compatible. Oddly enough, if I run it on my MacBook Pro, and I'm talking about Armadeus Pro, if I run it on my MacBook Pro, it's fine. If I run it on my Mac Air, it falls over. So, and I haven't checked on the website for compatibility, but at the moment, I'm finding it very unstable to run Armadeus Pro on either the MacBook Air or the MacBook Pro.
I went by the way of Robert Carter and started using Sound Studio, and I like it. It's got a little more of a SoundForge feel. So that's the way I've gone. But I haven't really played with it hardcore since upgrading. So
no, I haven't tried it since upgrading either. I hope it still works okay.
Yes.
Anything that was written for the PowerPC architecture that hasn't been rewritten is not going to work with Lion. The libraries necessary for that emulation have been removed.
I noticed that VMware Fusion, it may be a setting that got changed somehow, but for some reason, when I have a Windows, like a Windows 7 window open, I can't do a VOM and get to the VMware Fusion menu anymore. Oh. I don't know if other people have experienced that or not.
Well, not good. What about Control F2? Well, we'll have to play with that.
Mm. Actually, I've been using DocuScan for quite a while with Lion, and it seems to be perfectly stable as well. So for people using DocuScan from Serotek, of course, it's been fine both with the scanner and the camera. So it's been absolutely stable. In fact, the first thing I did when I upgraded my MacBook Pro yesterday to Lion was make sure DocuScan worked, because I use that for PDF conversion now.
I got to stop you there because I have heard some reports that there are a couple of people having issues.
Okay, yeah, there may be. Your mileage may vary. So we don't know in some of these what things may have to do with specific hardware. And that could be the challenge, whether it's in the case of DSP, if it's a scanner issue, or if it's just different hardware. That's what I wonder. So, I mean, we have to qualify and say, yeah, I'm doing it on the Air or the MacBook or, you know, the Mini or exactly which devices we're talking about in case there's some hardware-specific issues coming into play.
Since we know that it's working for a lot of people and the scanners that that we've had reports that it is not working with are pretty specific models, I think it's something to do with the driver classes and those specific scanners. That would be my guess anyway.
Yeah, it would stand to reason. Let's talk about some of the new features. Over 250 features, but well, this Launchpad and, you know, what should we be looking at? What's even useful or worth our time to investigate?
Some of the voiceover-specific ones are that they have a bunch of new voices, including international voices now. So these are the nuanced voices. They also have a new feature called Fast Search, which you can define it. So you press the command key and the first letter of the element you're trying to get to, and it'll jump straight to it. There's also single key letter navigation on web pages. So you can press H to go to a heading, L for links and so forth. And you can also define a variety of hotkeys for that.
Actually, the one of the main things that I guess I like about Lion in general is I can live without Launchpad. But mission control, especially with the expose group now, is because I'm working on about 10 applications at the same time on my Mac, sometimes I actually forget that I've got Windows open. So if I jump into Mission Control now, I can clearly see what windows I've got open, what applications are running, and if I just need to close anything to increase my machine's performance. So Mission Control, for those who don't know, you can launch it from your applications folder, your dock, or if you haven't got your VoiceOver trackpad commander turned on, you can do a four-finger flick up, and that will run or launch Mission Control. And it really is nifty, and it actually works extremely well with VoiceOver. And one of my demo podcasts actually goes through Mission Control. Launchpad, for those, again, who don't know about it, is like your home screens on your iOS devices, where it brings up all the applications on your computer. If you've got more applications that fit on one screen, as far as your third-party and your Mac App Store apps are concerned, you can go to page 2-3. The problem is, again, with the VO home and end, you can't jump to the top and the bottom. You can switch between screens without having to come out of the grid and go down to the, you know, page 1-2-3 radio buttons. But you won't get speech when you do it. So if you do, at the moment, I'm not sure if there's a gesture. Peter can check on that for me if he wants. But command left and right arrow will certainly take you between your screens and Launchpad. But I just find it faster to just go to the dock on my applications folder or just use my keyboard commander to launch my most used applications anyway.
I communicated with Apple about Launchpad a while back because I really felt that the VoiceOver support on that particular function was really lacking. And while, sure, we can all go to the applications folder like we're used to, if they're going to use Launchpad as the new de facto standard for application launching, then we should have access to that as well. And as far as I can tell right now, there's no way to do functions like deleting apps or moving apps into folders with VoiceOver. Now, I know that we had this with iOS, and they eventually fixed it, but I don't want to assume that they're necessarily going to unless we speak up and say we need this.
No, and one thing at the moment is that if you go into Launchpad and VO whatever down arrow to the utilities folder, you actually can't open the folder in the Launchpad at the moment. So if you think you're doing something wrong, you're not, because it's actually a current bug. You can't open subfolders. Like Peter said, you can't really do much else except navigate and launch applications at the moment.
Okay, so what are some things we need to know about with our newly installed version of Lion? I mean, is there things we need to disable that's eating up hotkeys that we need, or I guess VoiceOver doesn't come up automatically, so you got to turn it on with the Command F5, or even if you want to know, as I did in the install process, where it was in terms of percentage, you know, hit the Command F5 and bring it up during the upgrade process as well. Any tips?
So during the upgrade process, after you start the upgrade from the Mac App Store, assuming that you're doing this the normal way, your machine will get to a point where it will reboot. And what it's doing is booting into a utility partition that was created as part of the initial setup process. When that window comes up after you hear your Mac startup sound and you wait for a little bit, generally speaking, in a setup window, VoiceOver will come on after a few minutes after the computer assumes that you cannot see it. For some reason, they did not implement this in this version. So when you get to that second step, if you're wondering where things are at, you have to press Command F5 and kind of use your VoiceOver commands to tool around that window.
And what about expose or spaces? Again, every time there's an upgrade, the question comes up, are these useful? Do we just turn these off? What do they get in our way? Our function keys?
I'll let the other guys talk about that. I don't use those functions very much.
Yeah, look, I mean, the spaces list for me, it's a very visual thing, and I don't really tend to use it because I'm a VoiceOver user. Expose windows, like I said last time, I tend to use it for my application window control. The only thing I wished Apple would start doing is, because Command F5 overwrites your function key settings, so it doesn't matter if it's set to hardware or software, it'll work anytime, anywhere. I just wish they'd have a separate one for that. When you've actually initiated VoiceOver, your function keys, if you wish, there might be a setting for it. I mean, there isn't now, but there probably should be, to switch your function keys to software control. Because if you've got a full-size keyboard, there's no way you can hold down the FN key if you want to use your function keys as software. So there's just little niggly things. And the other two things that I keep raving on about all the time, and I've bugged it several times now, is we still don't have proper PDF structured tag access in PDF files. So they're still long gone, and nor can you actually navigate tables in text edit and pages. So there's little things that, you know, you can't turn on in VoiceOver because there's no current feature to support those. So, I mean, that's just a few, hopefully a future improvement that Apple will be working on as well.
There's an application, and I it was in my Twitter stream the other day, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's a third-party app for OS X that lets you toggle software and hardware control of function keys with a keyboard shortcut and based on what application is in focus. I'll have to go back and dig that up.
Oh, very good. I better start following you on Twitter then, Peter. That's a nifty one, because the one thing I get asked all the time on the Vision Australia help desk is, my Mac's not working, my function keys are not working, how can I fix it? And I just feel like having a recording saying, please follow the following instructions to switch a function key from hardware to software.
Come on, you know people don't listen to those recordings.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing, is that it's quite doable if you know how to do it, but if you don't know how to do it, you're stuck.
Right, that's why I mentioned that to some things. If someone just listens to this and they decide this is their time to break off and go get a Mac, and interesting, if now Lion is, you know, clean Lion, they don't get the automatic, hey, I see you're not doing anything, want some help? But let's talk about the clean install versus doing the upgrade process. Kind of explain, I'll start with you, Pete, explain that process. You get the image, and I guess you can make a DVD of it, or you can have a bootable, you can make a bootable external drive. There's some issues in what drives are supported now, I guess. So talk about doing a clean install versus the upgrade.
Any USB drive that doesn't have a hidden partition like a U3 drive should work. I don't really see why it wouldn't. But the easiest path for most people is going to be the DVD method. Inside the package that you download from the Mac App Store, if you go to your applications folder and context menu on the install Mac OS X and do show package contents, there's a folder called contents underneath there, and then there's a DMG image inside there that's called install ESD. So what you need to do is copy that image onto the desktop or a more convenient location for you, open it up in disk utility and create a bootable DVD that way. That's probably going to be the easiest path for the majority of people to do. The USB drive method requires some extra formatting and partitioning that probably isn't worth it.
Peter, if this is still the issue, I know it was last week or two ago, but you've got to do that before you actually can start the install of Lion, because otherwise, if you don't do that, it'll actually, after Lion's finished installing on your machine, it actually wipes that directory out.
You're correct. So, it does do that. You cannot start the installer. So once the installer opens up, you need to close it down right away. Don't even hit continue on that screen. And you need to do that before you continue on, because the image is deleted after the reboot process.
Right. What I did was, as soon as the install said continue, I left it sitting there, just went over to the Finder, and went into the app folder and made a copy of that that app, that Lion app, and I had it so I could go back to it later. But you can just fine.
Okay, we're getting breakups.
Went back to the installer and press continue.
Okay, very important for people to know to back that image up before you proceed, because it will be removed, and then you're kind of stuck with it. Of course, I guess obviously you go back to the App Store and, you know, do a reinstall if it's just not working for you correctly. But yeah, definitely want to get that image backed up before going further. Now, Robert, you asked something today, I believe, on Twitter, something about how to use VoiceOver to tell which bootable partition you were on or something. And I thought we just did the whatever option right arrow. And so is there some options that are there now that weren't before? You either have Lion or
a partition? No, it's always been there. I just forgot that there is when you go into the system control panel, there is an option for a startup disk. You can go in there and choose which disk you want to be bootable. Want the operating system to be booted from when the machine starts. And I had a drive with several partitions on it, and so it's hard to tell using the option left and right arrow at boot time. You don't get any feedback on which one of those you're on, but you can actually, assuming you can boot in the first place, you can go into the control panel and set that up.
Okay, very good. Are there any caveats that people should be mindful of before upgrading? I mean,
well, make sure you have a good backup of your existing system that's on a bootable medium, so you can boot back into Snow Leopard if things aren't going the way you want, or if you just want to boot back into it for old time's sake because you miss it. You want a way to do that.
Actually, Peter, you might know the answer to this question, because I'm probably going to get this on help desk extremely shortly. for those people using Leopard, now at the moment, Apple's saying that you've got to upgrade from Snow Leopard. You've got then, because it's got the Mac App Store, you can then upgrade to Lion. If you've got Leopard, from what I understand at the moment, is that you can, if you've got an image on a DVD or USB stick, I guess you're fine. But if you've got Leopard, I'm assuming you'd have to install, well, this is the official way, I guess, install Snow Leopard and then do the upgrade. It just seems extremely messy at the moment to get from Leopard to Lion.
It is. So if you want to go straight from Leopard to Lion, which I have to make clear here is technically a violation of the license agreement, you have to boot to a bootable image, erase your drives and partitions, and do a clean install. It's a little bit of a gray area because at this point, getting full Snow Leopard versions, Snow Leopard upgrades, is going to become increasingly difficult as the third-party distributors run out of their stock, and that will happen very shortly.
Okay, before we open to questions, is there anything else you want to cover on these 250 new features?
Can I just mention activities? That's something that we haven't really covered yet, but finally, VoiceOver now, you can actually set your settings in VoiceOver Utility to come up, reload settings for, you know, text edit, iTunes, etc., or you can manually load them. So what I started doing with mine is, because I have to do a lot of proofreading at work, I've created a proofreading activity or a proofreading settings that I can actually use for when I'm in text edit. So I just do VOX to bring up the activities menu, VO down arrow to the created activity called proofreading that I've created, and then start using it. And then you can either go do a VOXX to switch back to your previous activity, or when you command tab or change focus out of the application, you can also go back to your default, you know, VoiceOver activity setting. So it's an improvement. I've been mainly using it for hotspots and verbosity and that sort of stuff. So, for example, I've got a hotspot set in iTunes so that when I go back into iTunes, I'm automatically monitoring or checking the LCD area when I'm downloading podcasts or doing other stuff. And back on the Finder, I've got some hotspots set so I can quickly check my battery or my Wi-Fi status. So activities are actually becoming extremely useful for me in general. And if you want to find them in VoiceOver Utility, it's at the bottom of the category list called Activities, or you can do a Command 0 to jump the focus straight down to that activity in VoiceOver Utility. Quite useful. And the other thing I want to mention quickly, there are now Braille tables. So for us folks in Australia, we don't have to use the US Braille code anymore. We can use the Unified English Braille table. And there's lots of other international Braille tables in that too. So they've really brought the Braille support up in VoiceOver now as well. So for me, they're the two major things that stick out, the layout for Braille tables and the activities function.
So for those things I want to mention. Go ahead, Peter.
Just wanted to mention real quick to associate this for Windows screen reader users. Those of you who are Windows Eyes users, you can think of activities like set files and JAWS settings, similar function to the activities function is, you know, letting you set settings per application. And they are very powerful if you can use them correctly.
Yeah, the other thing that people might find too, and it's almost goes back to, dare I say it, forms mode in JAWS. Not the automatic forms mode, but the manual forms mode in JAWS. If you've got single letter key quick navigation turned on, so where Kevin said earlier on, where you can press H for header and L for link, if you're on an edit field and you go and type into it, then all us JAWS users know that if you press H, because you're going to type in Harry for Harry Potter, it'll say header or no header found. So you've actually got to toggle off quick nav to be able to type into that edit field. Or I've also found that if you actually interact with Shift VO down arrow, that seems to override the quick nav function and you can type into the edit field. But by default,
if you've got quick nav turned on, can't you just use the down arrow to the down arrow and right arrow to interact?
Oh, sorry, yes, you can do that as well. But if you're not interacting with the edit field, or you don't turn quick nav off, then the single key letter navigation still activates, which
the
is the best.
Two things I want to mention was Lion, they added drag and drop for VoiceOver. So you select the item you want to drag with VO comma, and then you select you drop the item with VO period. And the second thing is kind of a minor thing, but there's a whole bunch of different things in VoiceOver Utilities now, including the activities that David mentioned and the single key letter navigation, all these things. They have included the search box now. So you can actually search for whatever you're looking for in VoiceOver utilities.
That wasn't there in Snow Leopard?
I don't believe so.
So what? I thought it was there.
Not in the same configuration. No, it's actually work. Well, it was there, but it's actually working slightly differently now. Yeah, the other thing, which for anybody who's low vision that uses VoiceOver, because we've now got the drag back, so VO comma and VO period. If you want to adjust your contrast on your Mac, the command for that, I believe, is actually Option Command comma and Option Command period. They actually conflict with the VoiceOver drag command now. So you actually have to overwrite it by doing your VO tab, which is your bypass key function now. So if you've been strolling along in Snow Leopard and you can change your contrast on the fly, you'll actually find there's now a keyboard conflict between VoiceOver and that function now.
I believe there are also a bunch of Zoom enhancements, but I'm not all too familiar with what those specifics are.
The graphic smoothing has gotten better.
Yeah. Actually, I just checked that contrast function. Sorry, it's actually Control Option Command and comma and period. And because VoiceOver uses Control and Option Command and period, it's still conflict. So I thought, while I was talking about it, I think I've got that command slightly wrong, so there's a correction to it.
I wonder when you said that exactly. Yeah, okay. I've opened up for questions, so we'll see if any of our 30-plus folks attending have any questions as well. Now, what are some complaints you're hearing? I mean, I've seen two articles that people are just, they're upset about this and that. Of course, there always will be naysayers, and generally, I think it's worth the enhancements, the security improvements, but what are some things you think they're really throwing people right now?
A lot of the things are visual, so you know, for our audience, you're not going to see as much of that. Besides the voiceover glitches that we've already kind of touched on, the scroll bars have been adjusted visually. So you know, if you're a visual user and the scrolling bars disappear and their function is just really funky, it's going to be really jarring change. The one thing that you will notice is that as you use the trackpad commander to scroll, the direction has now become similar to the iPhone. So in order to scroll down, you actually have to push up as if you're shoving a piece of paper up. And I notice even at work when some of our newer users are using Lion, they have a lot of trouble with that. It just doesn't compete with their minds. And anybody that's got a scroll wheel on their mouse, the same thing. You know, they've reversed the directions. Luckily enough, there's some preferences where you can turn this functionality off. But I really encourage everybody to learn the new way of the interface. I think that this signals a change in the way Apple is going to design their user interface, and the preferences are there if you need to turn them off, if it's really bugging you. But I have a feeling that as this process progresses, they're going to try to push people towards a certain way of doing things. And that's kind of a philosophical difference between Apple and maybe some of the other OS vendors out there that, you know, we could go on about all night.
So I guess there's still some software waiting to see. I see something here about they're working on an iTunes full 64-bit full screen, and hopefully there we will fix the accessibility issues mentioned earlier. We've got iWork 9.1 for Lion, and just generally we're seeing not only getting rid of certain hardware peripherals like optical drives, but also just kind of getting rid of box software.
Apple's pushing the Mac App Store hard, and they're doing the same thing they kind of did with iTunes, and they're saying, you know, we're done with discs. We don't want you to get your software on discs anymore. They did the same thing with music and movies. They said, okay, we're done with DVDs. We're done with CDs being shipped in the mail. So let's do this. And they were able to pull it off with iTunes. They're still the largest music marketplace. So we'll see if they do it with software too. I think we'll see Microsoft follow suit in the next version of Windows too.
Well, and
Peter, earlier you mentioned NAS and Time Machine. Some issues with that.
That's a good point. We're hearing sporadic reports, and I verified this with one device that I had at work, that third-party network-attached storage devices that implemented the Time Machine protocol don't appear to be working for a lot of folks out there. So I'm sure they did something to protect the Time Machine protocol, and we'll see if there's just an updated key that the vendors need to put on their firmware, or whether it's something a little bit more Apple-esque in that they're deciding not to let anyone else use Time Machine.
Again, you're listening to Cyril Talk Tech Chat 110 for July 21st. We're talking about what's new and cool with Lion.
So everybody knows that I'm a security guy. It's part of my job function. So I'm going to mention real quick that I'm impressed with the security enhancements in OS Lion. Apple's really coming of age in the security arena. I think that they realize that they are no longer a niche market. This is not boutique software anymore, and their security through obscurity isn't going to serve them anymore. So they've really locked things down in Lion. There's significant security enhancements to the point where I would call it on parity with Windows 7. And Windows 7 was a big security increase for you Microsoft users out there. So this is good news in my opinion, although some of the voiceover glitchiness we're seeing in Safari can likely be attributed to the security enhancements.
Actually, Michael, just came back to an early comment you made about some of the changes you will notice in Lion and that sort of stuff now is the fact that when you go into an application, you open up multiple windows. If you command Q and then go back into that application, by default, all those windows will still be open. Or if you restart your Mac and you think, oh, well, I've just left all these applications open, I'm not using them, I'll just restart, those applications will also be open when you restart your Mac. So if you don't want what's called automatic resume on, you can go into System Preferences General and uncheck the checkbox that says restore windows on quitting and or opening applications, so you can check it off. Or if you go down to restart your Mac, there's a checkbox there that says you don't have to actually have all your windows open when you restart your Mac. I normally leave mine all on because I like actually having the applications where they were where I left them. And the other thing you'll notice when you do, say for example in TextEdit, the first time you do Command S, which is a normal save command, it'll come up and ask for the file name. From that point on, every time you press Command S, it'll say saving version. And this is one of the new things in Lion, is that the system will, one, automatically save your work and automatically save versions of the document you're currently working on. And you can use the versions menu to go back to a previous version of the document, or you can duplicate it, etc. But if you've been writing like I've done, I just did a 20-page document for work the other day and I chopped out a few paragraphs that I didn't really mean to do, and then I could go back to the other document and copy it back in. So saving versions is extremely useful now, and so you will find that different. And like I said, the restore screens on exit, if you don't turn that off, then those screens will be there when you re-enter the application.
Two things that I want to mention about that. I'm noticing that the iWork implementation of versioning is slightly inaccessible. That one's sent to Apple as a bug. The other thing is that I would caution everyone against saving documents from TextEdit or other word processors using versioning into Dropbox, because currently the way OS X is storing these file versions does not exactly play well with them. So since Dropbox has its own built-in versioning, it tends to be unpleasant.
Okay, we were talking about backup earlier, and you were saying that the contents on the drive can be encrypted, which would prevent it from working with something like SuperDuper. Is that by default, or is that something you have to choose to enable? Or do we need to disable before backing up?
No, that's not turned on by default. And this is going to be of use to very, very limited subset of Apple users. File Vault's been enhanced in the new version of OS X to allow whole disk encryption. And before I get too technical, I'm just going to say that all that is that your entire hard drive is scrambled, so it can't be read by any low-level file utilities without the decryption information. This is a problem for anything that tries to read your data offline, i.e. not in the operating system, and is probably only going to be used by those of us in positions where we have to keep confidential information secure. For the average home user, it's probably not worth the hassle.
One thing I wanted to add about anybody who does, and I hope you all do, backups on a regular basis, make sure your backup software and your maintenance software like Cocktail or Onyx are all updated to be compatible with Lion, because you don't want to mess up, get a corrupt backup and not realize it and then not be able to use it. So you want to make sure that your software is indeed Lion ready before you do those backups maintenance.
And one of the things someone looked forward to was the iCloud support And now we understand it's going to be rolled out incrementally. Do we kind of know the game plan for that, or is Apple roll it out when it's ready? Or?
I imagine that we will not see iCloud until iOS 5 is ready for release, which I anticipate would be sometime, I would guess, early or mid-September.
Yeah, that would make sense. Let's see. We have a question. It said, can you still run a dual boot system with Boot Camp?
Yes.
Okay, and hopefully that kept all that in place, folks upgraded?
Yes, it did on the one machine that I had it on when I tried the upgrade process. You need to be very careful that you don't select the Boot Camp disk when you're installing, but by default it's going to land on the OS X disk.
Right, so unless you change it, you should be good, and that should carry right over for you. Okay, very good. Let's see, we're down to about 15 minutes, and I know it's a little challenging because it's just been out yesterday, and so other than folks that have played with the betas that have a little bit of insight above that, anything else we want to cover here?
Actually, the two great little features that I use all the time now is, for those people that don't know, you can use keyboard shortcuts from your desktop to jump to your applications folder, your home folder, your dock, utilities, etc. They've also added a new one in Lion, so you can jump to your downloads folder. So it's Option Command L to jump to your downloads folder. And the other one that I use, because I've currently got about 145 currently applications I've downloaded from the Mac App Store, you can actually do Command 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 now to jump between those different views in the Mac App Store. So, for example, you can press Command 4 to jump straight to your purchases screen to bring it up on the screen, Command 5 to bring up your update screen. So just those little options really make it a lot faster to access your content, particularly in the App Store. And because I'm downloading stuff all the time as well, just that little Option Command L to jump straight to my downloads folder works extremely nicely.
Yeah, I made note of all three of those. Those are very useful commands. Appreciate that kind of insight. See, that's why we have these things. We learn all these cool shortcuts.
I would like to say that David has already done several, I think, 8 little mini tutorial podcasts on Lion, and they're very helpful and very useful. And all the information that we've talked about is pretty much summarized in those podcasts.
Yeah, I actually did them yesterday, or the day before, so they were actually done at the last minute. But the other thing, and I don't know, Peter, if you've ever come across this, or Kevin or Robert, is up until now, if you ever did VO spacebar on your documents and your downloads folder on the dock, if your view item was not set to a particular item, you couldn't open those folders from your dock. And I've noticed now it doesn't make any difference. You can do VO spacebar on the downloads and documents folder. Before, you press VO spacebar as the instructions were, the hit suggested, and it wouldn't open. So I noticed that's another slight thing that's been fixed, that now it doesn't matter what the view is in those documents or downloads folder, you can now open up the items on the property on the dock now. So that's another slight
thing. The grid view wasn't implemented accessibly, which is the default view. So they did fix that.
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely fixed. And also when you're switching in Safari, when you're switching among the different windows, it no longer says switching window. It just switches right to the window. So you don't hear switching to window and the name of the window. You just hear the name of the window now. Mm. Something that I've seen a number of people talk about is using the Nuance Voices. Doesn't really matter which one, but just randomly the pitch will kind of drift a fair amount and then come back to normal.
That's a question I just had here about someone downloaded RealSpeak Voices and they sound like a fast tape recorder. There's some pitch issues, I guess.
Yeah, for example, Samantha can either sound really, really high pitch, or it would drop down to a male voice, or sounding pretty close to like a male voice.
Well, Eloquence. Yeah, Eloquence will do that with the old Sharky screen reader sometimes too.
Yeah, when you're doing a read all.
Sorry, I had to slide that one in there.
Yeah, I like the way it gets lower and lower and lower, and then you just don't like this. So then it shoots up again. Yeah, I love that. That's a great.
And look, for people that know where the custom voices are for the premium voices, because VoiceOver comes, or VoiceOver, Lion and VoiceOver come with the compact voice Oz of the Nuance Voices. So you've got, like Kevin said, you've got Samantha and you've got Daniel and so on. But if you want to get to the premium voices, you can either do it from your system preferences speech in the speech tab with voices tab, or you can do it from VoiceOver itself. So you go to VoiceOver utility, speech, the voices tab, and then go, depending on what voice you want to do, but by default, you then go to the combo button, go down to custom, interact with the table once you go into that dialog box, and then you can check one of the premium voices. Because the premium voices will not say premium, they'll just say the name of the voice, like Karen for Australia. The compact voices will say compact after the name of the voice. Uninteract with that, and then you just go down to the OK button, or you can press the play button if you want to listen to it first before you download it. And then it will bring up software update. You can agree to the license agreement, and then it'll download it. Keep in mind, particularly if you're using a MacBook Air, each one of those voices can vary from about 160 meg, I think, up to about 300. So you don't want to go full bore and actually download all of them, because I think all of them, I think, take up about 4.5 gigs. So you want to be fairly careful not going crazy with them. And apparently if you do uncheck one of the voices in that custom list, that supposedly actually uninstalls the voice on the hard drive. But I've noticed on my MacBook Pro that it actually didn't uninstall the voice. So just a thing to be aware of.
Okay, Ron,
that's not good.
Yeah, not good at all.
The other thing to mention about that is that those premium voices are heavy on RAM usage when you're using them. So if you've got, 2 gigs of RAM, you may want to think about avoiding those.
I have a question here from Ron McEwen asking, can you now enter grade 2 Braille? I don't know. I think he's talking about a display that...
If your display has a translation mode in it, that it's the same behavior that was available in Snow Leopard. I don't think they've enhanced the Braille input.
Okay.
No, I don't think so either. No.
Probably want to talk that the single letter navigation on web pages in Safari and also the fast search aren't enabled by default. David, do you perhaps want to talk users how to turn that those two functions on?
Yep. So if you want to turn quick nav, single key navigation turned on, because it's actually associated with quick nav, you basically go to VoiceOver Utility. There's now, so you go down to Commanders. There's now a new tab in the Commanders called Quick Nav. And in there, you've got a couple of checkboxes. You've got Turn Quick Nav On checkbox, which of course should be on. You've got a toggle Quick Nav checkbox with left and right arrow keys, and you can turn that off, because for some users are not used to Quick Nav. That's one way of actually stopping them actually accidentally turning on Quick Nav. In the third checkbox, you've got single key letter navigation for web pages. So once that's turned on, and then when you go into back into Safari, you'll actually have single letter key navigation. Now, the only issue there, and this is a current bug that we haven't spoken about, is that if you do VOK for keyboard help, and you think, oh, I'll just remind myself what the single keys are for, such as H for header, L for link, it's not currently in VoiceOver keyboard help, so you won't get any keyboard feedback back, nor will you get any help back from keyboard help on your quick nav. So you can turn, if quick nav's on, you can go up and right, up and down, all the quick nav combinations, and you won't get any keyboard help either. So at the moment, that's a known bug. And as far as the single letter navigation goes, and for people that don't know what that is, that uses your right command key. Yeah, I was just thinking, hang on a minute. This is your right command key to quickly jump through text on the screen. So, for example, I've got notes here that I've written for today just to make sure that I cover all the points that I wanted to cover. Let's say, for example, one of the lines started with activities and another line started with automatic spell checking and that sort of stuff. If I do Command A, it'll jump to all the sentences in that document that start with the letter A. Or if I was on a web page and there was a group of links that I knew started with a certain letter, I could do the same thing with the command key and that particular letter. So it's a really quick way of jumping through text, whether it's on a web page or when you're in a document. And to turn that on, and this really is going off the top of my head, this one, I believe it's in your navigation pane to turn single navigation on with your command key.
Okay, let me roll. I got quite a few questions backing up. A follow-up question about, do any of you know if they will be fixing the pitch issues with voices? And again, I guess my answer there would be that it's probably been reported, but all folks should email accessibility@apple.com to, because if they hear from multiple people, that lets them know that that's an important issue and it's important for users to have a stable pitch with their voices. Yeah. Melissa asks if do the premium voices cost extra?
Free.
No charge.
No.
Oh, very good. Let's see what else we've got here. Okay. He was responding to her question. Okay, all right. So we're clear, and we're down to about 5 minutes. So what else do we want to...
Marco, can I just say also, too, the fact that line's out doesn't mean the development team, particularly for voiceover C testing and stuff, have actually stopped working. So yes, people can email accessibility@apple.com, that's fine, but it doesn't mean that the people that are actually testing Lion with VoiceOver still have actually stopped working. So, you know, Lion's out, but that doesn't mean nobody's not working on it. So there's quite a few people around the world that are still testing VoiceOver with Lion. So, and as you said earlier on in the session today, this is only version one.
Well, contact developers. I just got one here saying RS Games clients crashed 3 times. Well, I mean, that would be time to go to RS Games. I mean, when you're talking a third-party developer app, it would be time to go to them and see, you know, when they plan to have full support for Lion.
It's interesting. I wasn't aware there were any issues with RS Games. In fact, I had heard that it was okay.
He said it crashed on him 3 times. So again, you know, we have to wonder when machine specifics get involved, differences between iMac and MacBook Pros and Minis and so forth.
So how clean your machine was when you did the upgrade.
Right. Despite what Steve Jobs and some Apple fans will tell you, Apple's not perfect, folks. This is a new operating system. It is a point release for them, but Apple tends to change a lot in point releases. So, you know, like anything else, like it was when you went from XP to Vista, when you went from Vista to Windows 7, there's going to be problems. And the best thing you can do is to be patient and report the issues that you have, be as detailed as you can, and work with the developer on getting things fixed. This is the nature of technology until we develop computers that can, you know, fix themselves, which will put me out of a job.
I don't look for that anytime soon, Pete. I mean, they're still programmed by humans, and to err is human, so there you go. Now, after September, October, they'll probably have 10.7.1 or something out, you know? I mean, but I just think it's important for people to speak up and not just assume, well, someone else probably reported that bug, because I have to believe that, you know, when multiple people report it, that shows them, hey, this is an important issue.
Plus, if everybody thought that way, then nobody would ever report the bugs. Oh, well, somebody else reported it. It's like the house that's burning down the street from you. Oh, somebody else will call the fire.
Well, yeah, like when the electricity goes out and you just assume your neighbor or someone else reported it, then you're waiting a couple hours and realize, you know, so now I ring.
Oh,
that
no,
up.
I never.
I call right away now. I've
get
learned.
Out here and fix my power.
Okay, here's one. I want to see how you address this. This could be our last question. This one might take a little time. I am a new user, and where can I get helpful info to become a Power Mac user of the OS?
David Woodbridge.
David Woodbridge, yeah. I don't know, because I'm not a Power Mac user.
Neither am I, actually.
Nor am I.
Look, if people want some information, I mean, you can always use apple.com/accessibility for a good starting point. There are my podcasts, and if you want to do that, if you want to get my particular feed, you can even search for me, Apple Accessibility, on the iTunes store, or you can go to David Woodbur, so it's davidwoodbur.podbean.com/feeds/, or you can go to the Vision Australia AT podcast site, which is basically www.visionaustralia.org/AT podcasts, and that's podcast with an S. So there's some good points to start off with anyway.
I will add those two links. I didn't have those for some reason. I had a different thing that you did back on 10.6.4, I think it was here.
And also, everyone, you know, just like anything else out there, you know, Twitter's a good resource. If you follow the right folks on Twitter, people are generally helpful. Be polite. I have seen some tweets that I personally would have responded to with, "You really want me to help you after you just said that to me?" But, you know, the community on Twitter is helpful by and large.
Oh, exactly. I learned so much through Twitter. Either just comments or the URLs that are posted. I mean, it is the impetus of the Cyril Talk podcast, where we get our information, and it's just a great resource. Again, the key is following the right people. Most people who abandoned Twitter just didn't follow the right people. They didn't know how to look at the friends of their friends to see who really had the knowledge that they were looking for. But anyway, we're down to final minutes, so I guess we'll just take final comments, and I will start with you, Peter. What do you want to say about Roar, the big lion?
I'm not really that excited with it. Other than the security enhancements and the whole disk encryption, my daily use of it hasn't really changed at all. I know that's probably disappointing, but there you have it.
Okay, David?
Well, I actually absolutely love resume. I know people absolutely hate it, or some people I've heard seen comments on via Twitter, but I like the resume mode so that when I restart my Mac or work on any documents, I've always got the, and I think that's because I'm coming from my iOS. I mean, I've got an iPod Touch, an iPhone, and an iPad that I use all the time, and it's just a similar way of using it, the same online now. So I'll certainly definitely be using it. I'll be going on my other two machines while I'm at it.
Okay, and Robert?
Well, I was very pleased with how easy it was to upgrade to Lion and how quickly I was able to begin using it, because you really can use, if you can use Snow Leopard, you can use Lion, and as you get more comfortable, you can explore the new features. So I would encourage anyone to upgrade and take advantage of what's new.
And finally, Kevin, what are your thoughts, sir?
It's a pretty major update for both Lion, the OS itself, and VoiceOver. And of course, I mean, there are the different bugs that we mentioned, and there may be bugs that people notice themselves. And Apple, unfortunately, isn't perfect, as most may think. And please do take the time to let Apple Accessibility know. They do have a great email address, and they do listen, so let them know your concerns.
That's the key. I think if we don't speak up, then we can only blame ourselves. I mean, if something 6 months, a year later, we're still griping about it, if we didn't even at least take time to drop an email. Not everyone's, can we be aware, we're not always following the right list and the right people to know what bugs are being reported. So take the time and do that. It's worth it. Whatever you're trying to make more accessible. And again, if you're third-party apps, contact those developers too, and just see where they are. They need to know the folks are going into Lion. That's going to put the wraps on it. We invite you to join us next week on the 28th. Tech Chat 111 will be this month in Access Technology. And the plan is to have a roundtable of females. So we'll see how that goes. And Ricky Inger will MC that event. And of course, I'll play engineer and do my best to keep my mouth shut.
So, excellent.
Yeah. You like that, Robert? I love you too, buddy. Yeah. Well, barring tech, unless Skype craps out, I will be totally silent. So that'll be good. And as always, you can give us your suggestions, resources at serotalk.com. We have something called the iReport on our iBlink radio for Android and iOS. So you can phone, and if you find some useful or cool information AT related, you can certainly submit that to us as well. So with that, we're going to put the wraps on it. I thank all of you, Kevin Chow, Robert Carter, David Woodbridge, and Pete Bosley, for your valued input. And until we meet again next week, let us all stay connected and stay directed. This concludes another Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed. Comments on Serotalk Tech Chats are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotech Corporation, management, or third-party resellers.